women that believe that they can learn and that they can grow and that they can achieve what they want, they will. They will find a way. They will find means.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how. And it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now this whole world is startup and tech crazy. You got to check out Hack Reactor. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take it that much further, Hack Reactor is the trusted environment to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I am still in Lisbon, Portugal, and home co-working, one of the most amazing hostels in Lisbon that has a co-working space attached, is just so generous to let us record these interviews out of their fabulous space today. So I am excited to bring to you an extraordinary woman in tech that I met at the Web Summit Women in Tech Meetup, which is cool. For those of you who don't know Web Summit, it used to be in Dublin. Now it's in Lisbon. It's one of the most prolific tech conferences in Europe. And yeah, I'm really excited that we connected. So go ahead, introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about who you are.
Hey, hi. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. I'm a huge podcast fan. Yay! Of everything. So I'll do my best to kind of relay to you guys and everything that I have in my mind when we were talking and while you were talking now about the Web Summit and Lisbon and the IT world. There's always so much happening. So there is a message that I would like to leave today. And that is that the IT world is for women, and any woman that wants to dive into the IT world has and should have a place and a way of mm-hmm. doing so. So most people, I think, identify women in tech as women that have studied in some field of IT, that attended college or decided to pursue that career based on their studies mm-hmm. and their major fields or something. In my opinion, that's not entirely true. Myself and a lot of amazing women ended up at the IT world because they fell in love with the IT world and they have a spot in it and they have a contribution to the IT world, mm-hmm. myself included. And so I would like to, first of all, leave a message to all the women that are struggling or are trying or have a passion for this field, just go in and just start something. And it's an amazing world with a lot of new things happening, and it's very active and very engaging and challenging and ever always evolving.
Totally.
So it's very cool.
Tell me about your IT story, because I think that's going to be what really resonates with everyone listening. Where did you begin your world into technology? Basically, how did you go from Lisbon to Silicon Valley and back to Lisbon, Portugal? Tell me about that journey.
So without trying to date myself, hopefully my voice will sound very, very young and energetic. But without dating myself, a few years back, I started, almost by accident, I started in the IT world with voice software and call center software development. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing company in Portugal. Can I refer names?
Sure, go for
it. Altitude Software. And we had a lot of products, and there was always new versions coming out, and I loved it, and we actually had operations in US.
How large was Altitude?
At the moment, it's
then when you were with
them. Then 200 something,
200
something people, 500 something or
incredible.
Because I think I think around that. Anyway, so at the time, we already had some operations in US. So that was my first contact with US, and I loved it. I was super, super, super excited about it. We had an IPO going on and everything, and it was brand new world. Yeah. And so that was it. I was hooked. And then from then on.
Wait, and in your first immersion into tech, you learned about an IPO.
Yeah, that was.
I think not everyone listening knows what that is. Would you mind explaining
a little bit? Well, it's the case we ended up not doing it. But it's when you go into the market and you start your, you sell stocks and you go into the market. I think.
Pretty much you become super huge.
Yes.
You go from huge to super huge.
And we were working with, I don't know how to put it more simply than that. I think my 4-year-old would understand that. We were working with Merrill Lynch and everything. So it was cool. It was at the beginning, I remember it was my first week. And I had no idea what it was. So I just took notes, a lot of notes.
I'm sure.
And then at the end of the day, I would go and learn. And that's very addictive.
You had said that you guys didn't end up doing the IPO. And the thing is, doing an IPO changes the dynamics of your company entirely. And so some people, even though it makes you super huge, just don't want the kind of structure and framework that entails. And it's a lot. It's complicated. We'll do a whole episode one time about IPOs, I swear, but go ahead.
I'm still not an expert at it. So so after that, I knew that was my path, and every decision I made in terms of career, in terms of study, and in terms of, you know, hobbies and everything that you love, it was directed to that. And then later on, I started working through a company that actually it had the same people that from Altitude Software, so it was good. And that was with Agile Development Company. And they started operations in US. And it was kind of a family project at the time.
And you guys, Agile Development is a certain type of way to build sites and technology.
Yeah. Very easy to use and adapt. And you don't have to be an expert in development in order to use. And this was with OutSystems. You don't have to be an expert in order to develop with OutSystems Agile platform. It's super easy. And in the meantime, they grew immensely, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. And so it's a very friendly use platform. But anyway, so that was at the time, that was actually a family project. And I moved with my husband at the time to the US. We already had, OutSystems had already operations going on in the US, and we were being successful, but we needed to move forward, and we needed to launch an on-site operations. So it was the two of us and my oldest kid, and it was kind of an amazing personal experience and professional experience, because it was an adventure. You know, you go with a few bags and luggage, and you move to a different country, to the Silicon Valley, smack in the middle of where everything is happening, San Francisco. And then we rented a place with a backyard, and it had like this little shack in the back with a couch for visitors and a big desk. And that's where everything kind of happened.
And you were saying this is in the Steve Jobs era.
Yes, it was. So it was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And you had like developers in your backyard, you were saying?
Yeah, because, you know, in that time between the company growing enough to have local offices, which we did from the start, but it was a little bit further in into California on the other side of the Bay Bridge. And so everyone would just gather there, and I loved it. Those were very active days, you know. The company grew, and it was a success. There was one project specifically that I think it was the game changer when they closed the deal with the U.S. Army, and that was big. That was big. Because actually, in the U.S., if you're a government and you want to hire a foreign company, you need to provide the proof and the reasons why you're hiring a foreign company.
Right, right.
So it's pretty cool to have to be in a country trying to build a business and have the customer, the client, building up a case why you're the best thing around in the whole wide world.
Right.
So I think OutSystems are very, very lucky, but they have good products and they have very good teams. So anyway, so that grew into something big. In the meantime, I started doing different things on my own and on my end with actually startup acceleration. And that was a different, totally different thing. And many of the startups that we would work with were IT again, of course. We would have some medical ones. I was working with a portfolio of startup companies from Portugal through Portugal Ventures, which is a government.
I feel like through all this, it sounds like everything was so seamless. How were you able to have access to the venture company in Portugal and be that conduit? And where were you in this space at that time?
Because it was still in San Francisco in terms mm-hmm. of location, and I think.
But I mean, your role.
I was working with a consulting company, Leadership Business Consulting, which was the representative for Portugal Ventures in US.
Got it.
So we had a few different projects going on. I was doing this one, and I was doing strategic innovation programs for C-level decision makers. So there was a lot of things going on. I'm just referring to the ones that are.
Because you were saying what I found so interesting, you were saying this company that you moved to Silicon Valley for, it was just like you and your husband and the developers in the backyard.
Yeah.
And then just a few of you. And now it's like over 500 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were a part of planting the seeds.
Well, I was. And that was impressive. And it was, again, I think it was a learning experience.
And what did that company do?
It's OutSystems. They do the software, agile software.
Oh, the agile software. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're still with the agile software. Yeah.
But later on, working as a freelancer and as a consultant, what I did was startup acceleration programs.
And what did that mean to you? How did you help startups accelerate?
I was working with marketing and communication and program organization. And we would help with anything that the startup would need. We had different, some were looking for funding, others were looking for board members, others were looking for training. So it depended. This Portugal Ventures has a portfolio. And what they do is when they invest in a company, the CEO at the time was a visionaire and he had lived in Japan and had businesses everywhere in the world. So he really wanted the CEOs of the startups to have immersion experience. So what that meant was that included with the funding and we included with the program, they would support a stay of 3 weeks to 3 months in the US, full immersion. And that would go from, depending on what the company needed, that would go from helping them establish the product. If it was an IT product, we would put them in contact with whoever they needed. If it was a company that would need integration with either Facebook or whatever other platforms, we would help them throughout 3 months in order to get that, in order to achieve that. Along the way, we would do bootcamp and marketing and social media. We would give financial advising.
And who were some of the companies? Are they any companies that we could look up today?
Yes, there's a lot of companies that you could look up today.
Cool. Can you give us a couple?
I'm not sure if I can. But but we're talking about actually most of the most famous companies, startup companies at the moment in Portugal.
Really?
Really. If you go online and you see Portugal Ventures portfolio, you'll see all the companies.
Okay, so that's how you guys can check it out.
Because I'm naming some and then I'm not naming the others. The other ones.
So tell me a little bit about...
But it's a mighty portfolio. It's a very mighty portfolio.
Tell me a little bit about like Silicon Valley, Lisbon... I mean, obviously, Silicon Valley is like a dominant force in the tech industry. But what are some of the advantages that you have as a founder or a developer building a company in Lisbon versus somewhere else?
Okay. So actually that taps in into why I came back to Portugal. Mm-hmm. I came back to Portugal for personal reasons, having kids and family and all of that. But in terms of professional reasons, I think Portugal is going for sure to be the Silicon Valley of Europe.
Really?
And to me, this is it.
Wow.
Because we do have, we have the conditions, all the conditions for it. We have low cost, life low cost. We have, everyone says the weather. Okay, that's nice.
We get that in LA too. We get that in LA too.
But you don't, here you don't have the expenses you have in LA.
So true. So true. Everyone asks me, how are you traveling? I'm like, listen, it is like a fraction of the cost for me to be in Lisbon right now than to be living my normal life in Los Angeles.
Because if you think about it, everyone here is practically fluent or at least can communicate in English,
right?
Right.
Right.
You're at one of the entry points of Europe. From here, you can go anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
From here, if you open a business here, you have access to Europe's and European Union advantages and benefits and everything. You're a few hours away from New York, from mm-hmm. the U.S., if you need to lay foot in the U.S. for some reason to take care of something right. that needs to be done in person. Our people are very, very well prepared. Our universities are some of the best in Europe and in the world. Again, everyone is fluent. In terms of culture, in terms of we're easy to work with. The Portuguese are very friendly, are very hardworking, reliable. They get things done.
If the staff at Home Hostel is a reflection of what kind of quality of like teammanship exists in the rest of Portugal, I'm blown. I mean, first of all, the customer service, no matter where I go in Portugal, has been top notch.
Yep.
So impressed. It doesn't matter what kind of shop I walk into, restaurant, shop, hotel, whatever. Amazing customer experience.
No, it's true. And to back it up, you have, in terms of technology, we're very well equipped. Our ATM system was one of the best and one of the first ones to be fully operational with the largest coverage in Europe and in the world. So technically, we're ready for it. We have the people for it.
Right.
We have the conditions for it. We were lacking a little bit of government support and initiatives
right.
that would provide the conditions, the benefits and the conditions right. for a company to strive faster and further.
Right.
And the government is doing so. There's a lot of initiatives. There's a lot of co-work, co-shared spaces
right.
and hostels and a lot of lodging
offer
that is adapt to low budget
startup totally.
CEOs.
Totally.
So I really believe it that we have what it takes. And if we take the right steps and if we gather the interest of investors and investors start being more present and more involved with what's happening in Portugal, I really think we have what it takes to be the next Silicon Valley.
That's incredible. And what are some of the resources for startups? I know the Web Summit meetup for women in tech was at Startup Lisbon. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other resources that exist for startups here?
Well, the Startup Portugal is actually a project that I haven't kept up with what they're doing lately in the last few months, but I know the project from the beginning. So they were very ambitious. And they have website platforms. And if you look it up, Startup Portugal, a lot of information will come up. And I know they have high goals to achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
So more will come up.
But, and now with Web Summit here, I mean,
yeah, yeah.
It's just huge. How, what, before I let you go, what's one thing you've learned about achieving your dreams throughout your journey through this tech world?
I think I've been reading, well, audiobook, but anyway, while I'm driving, a book about growth mindset and fixed mindset. And maybe because of that, I'm inspired to mention it.
Right.
I think people that, and women that believe that they can learn and that they can grow and that they can achieve what they want, they will. They will find a way. They will find means. Mm-hmm. Even earlier this week, there's still, I think there's still, and I'm going to be, I hope, hopefully I'm, I won't be very politically incorrect now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of initiatives and movements to help women, empower women, provide us with equal benefits and equal rights and this and that. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I would rather us not even having to talk about it. But we do have to talk about it. Even last week, I was talking to someone, and that person wanted to give me a compliment. And he didn't necessarily wanted to compliment on work. So he complimented on looks. And this is still how we women sometimes are perceived in a man's world. If you're pretty or if you're well behaved and this, that gives you points. And then if you're intelligent, oh, awesome. And so it is hard for us. But we can do it. And we were talking about my experience in the U.S. And my experience in the U.S. was half of an experience because the other half that we didn't talk here, it was me with two kids and just helping the family and being, you know, doing volunteering, which I loved. I did a lot of volunteering in so many different areas in the U.S. with huge organizations, small organizations, the kids' school, everything, even doing political campaigns for Obama, mm-hmm. all of it. And that was amazing. And doing that at the same time doing IT world. And it's doable. If a woman really believes she wants that and she has a passion, she can do it. She just needs to learn. She just needs to apply herself and never give up. So
amen.
That's it.
I love it. How can people connect with you?
On LinkedIn. It's Luisa Baltazar. It's easy.
Can
Luisa
you spell
Baltazar.
It? Yeah.
Luisa Baltazar. And it's easy. There's not a lot in Portugal. But they can also find me at about.me-luisa-baltazar.
And one thing I have to say about Luisa is she is such a supportive person, both at Web Summit, at the meetup, and even in talking to me. She's always asking, how can I be supportive of you? How can I help? What can I do to contribute? I was just so moved by how genuinely kind and inclusive she is in the work that she's doing. And so I was really, really impressed. And I'm grateful that you wanted to spend your time to be on the show.
Thank you. That was actually something I learned at the Silicon Valley and San Francisco being the special city that it is and the special community that it is. There's this saying that I learned there and I apply it to everything, which is the tide rises all boats. And I really, really believe that. So if we contribute to the tide, to the rise of the tide, we'll be contributing to our own boat to rise and everyone else's. So we're good.
I love that. That's awesome. I love that. You guys, if you want to connect with more incredible people like Luisa, you know to go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. It takes you to the Facebook group so you don't have to like search Facebook for all those zillion groups. And if you want to check out the home co-working space, go to homelisbonhostel.com. That's homelisbonhostel.com. Like I said, they are incredible. They're one of, I think they were voted the best hostel in the world, and they have a co-working space. So if you are a digital nomad traveling around, this is the place to find your focused environment and a really, really comfy place to rest your head. And remember, you can connect with me online by tweeting at Esprit de Vore or at Women in Tech Show. I always love hearing from you guys. Again, that's at Women in Tech Show on Twitter. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'll see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.